from Jesus. You may be seated. A mandate from Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would indeed bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. I pray they would be acceptable in thy sight. And let us not just be hearers of these words from Jesus, but let us be doers. Let us put them into action through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Again, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. I've preached it before, but I think it's always good every now and then to remind us of what is the main thing. So as your pastor or even as a church, if we're looking for direction, if we're looking for guidance, if we're looking for purpose, where do we look? To whom do we seek? Of course, we look to God's word. Of course, we seek the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is indeed the founder of the church. He's the chief cornerstone of the Christian church. The church, this church, Love Fellowship, and the universal church, the body of Christ, belongs to Jesus. We just commemorated the Lord's Supper. I mean, Jesus, he purchased the church. He purchased us with his precious blood on Calvary's cross. And as Jesus prepared to leave planet Earth, he left some very important instructions for his church, for his people, for his disciples. And yes, that's you and me. We are disciples. We are Christ followers. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is great value, again, as we seek some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a person when they're about to die, a person about to leave you, a person about to, on their dying bed, or if they're about to leave a particular area, leave their family to go off to school or go off to work or whatever, you don't just say some trivial words. You just say some meaningful words, some impactful words, some profound words. I'm gonna leave them somewhere. They will remember me with these last words. So Jesus' last words are very important to us this morning. He lets us know what he wants us to major on. Now it's amazing. Somehow, in a very crafty, a very subtle, a very sneaky way, the devil has gotten us, the church, to major on all types of things. And don't get me wrong, some of those things are good and needed. But then some of the things that the church focuses on are not so good and definitely not even needed. So let's look at Jesus' mandate. Let's look at his directive to the church. Let's look at what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. It's in your bulletin, but of course it's in your Bible. But let's look at what Jesus said before we get to Matthew 28. Let's look at Acts 1:8, what Jesus said. And this is after his resurrection. This is when he was getting ready to ascend. Matter of fact, if you read further on, he does just ascend up, go on up back into heaven. But before that, Jesus tells his disciples, listen to what he said. He says to them and to us, he said, you shall receive power. That's part of the problem. The church doesn't have much power. The Christian doesn't have much power, and that shouldn't be. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you. And that power is going to help you to be witnesses to me, or to be my witnesses, Jesus says. Where, Jesus? He says, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. So if you're taking notes, one thing you want to write down, the mandate, the command, we're going to see it here, and we're going to see it in Matthew. But right here, Jesus says he commands us to be a witness for him. We are commanded to be a witness for Christ. It's not a suggestion. It's not, oh, if you get around to it. Now, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Now, we know what a witness does. If you ever go to court, either you or just going to support somebody, a witness comes and they testify what they have seen, right? So you and I, if you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus said, go and tell other people about that relationship. Go and tell people how you and I hang out. Go tell people how you enjoy me, you serve me, you worship me. Go and be my witness. Another thing you might want to jot down, we carry out this mandate, we carry out this command, not in our own power, that's where we go wrong a lot of times, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. just the last few weeks, just throughout the days, this last few weeks, I've been really asking the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me more about the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who dwells in me, the one who has sealed me into the day of redemption. I don't want to just be a regular person or a regular Christian. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to give you power. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit, it gives you, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He gives us discernment. He gives us boldness. Now, a lot of people, when it comes to evangelizing or being a witness, many of us probably fit in this category, at least at some point in our Christian life. Sometimes we're a little apprehensive or what they're going to think, or what if I say this, or what, you know, how am I going to, no. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your boldness. Now, sometimes the Lord said, does say, just be quiet and pray. But oftentimes he said, open up your mouth. You got to be a witness by the way you live and with your lips. I usually always say, testify about the Lord, if need be, use words. Well, we need to live the life before people, but it takes words. I say it takes words. If you're going to articulate the gospel, you got to tell people, hey, the wages of sin is death. If you're living without the Lord and you died, you're going to hell. But if you come to Christ and admit you are a sinner and receive him as your Lord and Savior, are you on your way to heaven? That takes words. People just can't get that through osmosis. We gotta be a witness for Christ. So that's what Jesus tells his disciples. And that's what he tells all of us this morning. All of us in here as Christians, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, Sister Geraldine, really the pressure is kind of off us. You know, I think sometimes we put too much pressure. Well, I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing. I want to say it just right. No, we just plant and water and God gives the increase. We can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. So maybe you might share with that coworker or that family member or that neighbor or that friend and they blow you off and say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. So don't let that discourage you. Don't let that discourage you. Still keep on sharing with them and with others. Sometimes a person keep rejecting, well, it might be time to shake your dust off your feet from that person and move to somebody else. But we need to keep on sharing. And he said, be my witnesses where? He said, first he said in your Jerusalem. Contextually, that just means your immediate context. Be a witness in your home. Be a witness in your home. Be a witness in your neighborhood. Be a witness on your job. Be a witness with those that you routinely come in contact with. Like if you go to the gym, you see people out there working out. Be a witness there. Where are those? That's your Jerusalem, your immediate context, those that you run into all the time. Be a witness there. But also he says, don't just stop in your immediate context. He also says in Judea and Samaria and Jesus said, even to the ends of the earth. So we are given a mandate to not just be a witness by the little people I come in contact with, but pray for people all over the world. Help to send missionaries. I mean, pray for people near and far. Pray for people in this city of Chattanooga. Pray for people in this state. Pray for people in this nation. Pray for people in this world that are lost. And Jesus said, be my witnesses everywhere. Wherever there are people are, guess what? We need to try to be a witness there. So you can do this personally, but also you can pray and pay for others. You can help support missionaries. Our church, Love Fellowship, right now, presently, we help to support 4 different missionaries. So these are different ways you can be a witness. There are various ways. We raise special offerings from time to time. At the last Sunday of this month, we have what we call the golden offering. And the money that's collected from that offering goes to the Tennessee Baptists. And they actually send it out to this state. It's for state missionaries. People like Willie McLaurin and people like that. We help to pay their salary. Also around Easter time, we have what we call the Annie Armstrong offering. Around Easter time, that offering goes to the North American missionaries. I had to give the Southern Baptists some credit. They really have come up with a good plan, a good strategic way to help get the word of Christ out. And of course, we have another offering around Christmas time called the Lottie Moon offering. And all the money collected, not just this church, but churches all over the U.S., all the money, the millions of dollars that are collected through those offerings go to help support our international missionaries. So as a Christian, you yourself can go. Or you can pay and pray. Say that with me. You can go, pay and pray. You might say, well, Pastor, I ain't going away to Africa. I'm not going to China. Well, okay. Maybe you can't go, but you can pray for those that are going, and then you can help support somebody who is going. That's part of what Christ told us to be his witnesses. You know, pray for situations like even down in Houston, the great flood there. I mean, I'm gonna tell you at the end of today's service, a way that we can contribute to that endeavor. I mean, a lot of people are going there, but a lot of Christian organizations are going there too. So they not only take those things that are needed, but also they take the gospel. Another way we can go is just by, applaud many of you who, donated to the shoes for orphans, campaign, and shoes were taken up. They were going to be sent all over the world. They were going to ship them to Dallas and then just put them all over the world. But now because of what's going on in Houston, I understand that most of those shoes are going to probably go to those people here in Houston. So that's a way, once again, that's a way to share the love of God. That's a way to share the gospel of Christ through tangible means like that. So there are a lot of things we can do. Once again, I want to encourage you to come out this Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll be meeting here at the church to come and pray and to be praying all this week. And if you fast some this week, that Saturday, the Lord will send us some souls for the kingdom. The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner gets saved. So it's a blessing. In the past, as we've gone out on Saturdays, we've seen people come and get reinvigorated. We've seen people come and get saved over the years. Now you know, we once again, we just go and plant them water. But we're looking forward to this Saturday coming. And even if you can't come, you need to be praying. Or even if you come, you say, well, I don't really feel like going out. I can't go out. You could be here at the church praying. Certain prayers, we know that God hears. When you're praying, say, God, we're getting ready to go out. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to share the good news. Lord, give us open doors. We want to see some people get saved. We want to see people get off the road to hell and get on the road to heaven. So, Lord, go before us. Work on their hearts. Give us the words to say. Show us favor as we go out to get souls for the kingdom. And you don't have to be saying, well, I don't know if that's in the will of God or not. That is in the will of God. It's God's desire that none should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be praying for that. Also, here's some other last words of Jesus. Look on the screen, Mark chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. This is after Jesus had been resurrected, and many of his disciples didn't believe it initially. So Jesus appeared to the 11, you know, minus Judas, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They didn't believe it. Well, they were kind of like Thomas. Well, I don't believe it. I gotta see it with my eyes. And so Jesus rebuked them. But then he said to them, look at what he said. He said, go, and these are some of the last words of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, somebody's even saying that, well, I'm not a preacher, pastor. I'm not a preacher. Well, preaching really just means to proclaim. This message is more than just for the preachers, more than just for the leaders in the church. It's for everybody. Go and spread the gospel. Go and tell people how they can be saved. Once again, how they can avoid going to hell and can go to heaven. I mean, why live in hell and end up living hell here on earth and end up being there all throughout all eternity? So we are told by Jesus, these are not my words. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, the founder of the church, the chief cornerstone, the Lamb of God. These are his words. This is his mandate. This is not an option. Let me say it again. This is not an option. If you struggle in this area, just say, Lord, I struggle in this area of evangelizing. Help me, dear Lord. Help me. I want to be a witness for you. I want to be your witness to all people I come in contact with. Now turn to Matthew 28. It's in your bulletin as well. This is famously known, Matthew 28, especially verses 19 and 20, is famously known as the Great Commission. But many Christians and many churches treat it as a great omission. Let me say that again. Some of y'all missed that. It's the Great Commission, but many people treat it as a great omission. I mean, think about it. Just ask yourself, when was the last time you really were a witness for Christ? When was the last time you really strategically share the gospel with somebody? And if it's been a long time, or maybe if you never have, this morning, say, this morning, Lord, today, tomorrow, I want to begin to be a better witness for you. I want to share the gospel because this is what you told me to do. So look at verse 16. Before we get to 19 and 20, let's work up through verse 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. If you're taking notes, you want to jot this down. The disciples were obedient. They were obedient. Jesus told them to go to a particular mountain in Galilee, and they went to that mountain. They were obedient. So you be obedient. They were obedient. These disciples, they were obedient. They were positioned just where Jesus told them to be. They were just where Jesus told them to be. See, if they were not in the place where Jesus had told them to be, guess what? They would have missed seeing Jesus. Jesus said, go to this place, go to this mountain, and you all get to see me. And so they obeyed and went to that mountain. A side note. Sometimes the reason maybe you or me are not seeing Jesus is because we're not at the place where Jesus told us to be. I gotta say that again. Sometimes the reason you're not seeing Jesus is because simply you're not at the place where Jesus told you to be. If these disciples hadn't gone to that mountain, if they hadn't gone to Galilee, guess what? They would have missed seeing Jesus. They would have missed seeing Jesus. But they were there, and so they got to see Jesus. And verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Jot this down. Before we even get to talking about witnessing for Jesus, first you and I gotta worship Jesus. Gotta worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship God. See, worship preceded the command. The worship, don't miss that, the worship preceded the command. They first saw Jesus, they obeyed Jesus, they saw him, and they worshiped him. What a blessed opportunity to worship the Lord. Be a worshiper of the Lord. I mean, we're the only things on planet Earth that can worship the Lord. A dog can't worship God. Cats can't worship the Lord. A monkey can't worship the Lord. Even though some people say we evolved from monkeys. Monkeys can't worship the Lord. But only we can worship the Lord. We get to worship God. We get to worship Jesus. So worship him on a regular and ongoing basis. Don't just wait to Sunday morning or Wednesday night to worship the Lord. Worship him in the morning when you get up. Worship him as you go to lunch. Worship him as you go to work. Worship him as you come back from work. Worship him as you lay down at night. I worship the Lord throughout the day. Let worship be a lifestyle. Cultivate a lifestyle of worship. Say, Lord, I'm worshiping you. Because see, listen, if you don't worship, you won't witness. If you don't worship, you won't witness. But if you worship, you can't help but to witness. You can't help but to tell people, man, I've been having such a great time with my Lord this week. I've been spending time with him. I've been praying to him. I've been in the Word of God. I've been listening to worship music. If you're a worshiper, you can't help but to witness. Does that make sense? You want to go tell people that, hey, I want to let you know about what I've been doing with my Lord. So if you worship, you will witness. But if you don't worship, witnessing is going to be a low priority. The disciples, they worship Jesus, but in the text, listen to this, in the text, in the midst of the worshipers, there were some who doubted. That's right there in the text. Some doubted. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is the post-resurrected Christ. Picture this, go back 2,000 years with me just for a moment. Use your spiritual imagination. Christ had been on the cross. He had died. He was crucified. He rose again. And we just read in Mark that many people said, well, no, I don't believe he rose again. You know, when the ladies came back with the report, they didn't believe it. When Thomas, he wasn't there the first time Christ appeared. Thomas said, unless I see it myself. But here it is. They see Christ. They see the resurrected Christ. Many of them are worshiping Jesus, but some doubt it. You're going to always have doubters. You're going to always have haters, so to speak. You're going to always have doubters. That's why I want to give you an encouraging word, even about when we go out to witness. A lot of people are going to doubt. They're going to say, I don't believe, Sister Jean, I don't believe this resurrected Jesus stuff. I don't believe he's the only way. He might be a way, but he can't be the only way. So you're going to have doubters. People are going to doubt the gospel. People are going to doubt the truth. People are going to doubt that even we as a church Love fellowship. People gonna say something like, well, that church is too small. Y'all too small. You can't make a difference. Well, we might be somewhat small in number, but we serve a big God. I said, we serve a big old God. I mean, a lot of times God like to use small or little things anyway. Like Gideon. Ask Gideon. Gideon had a big old army. God said, you got too many. You gotta cull them down. He had about 34,000. He knocked them down about 10,000. He ended up with 300. So wait a minute, God, that's the wrong addition. That's the wrong way they go. God said, no, basically, I want to get all the glory. The soldiers won't get the glory. You know, it was me, not the 300 soldiers. And if it was 34,000 soldiers, they might say, well, it was those mighty men. No, God said, you got too many. So we serve a big God. I mean, he spoke everything into existence. I said, he spoke everything into existence. He can speak through a burning bush. He can part a Red Sea. He can protect you in the lion's den. He can protect you in a fiery, red-hot furnace. He can feed a multitude with two fish and five loaves of bread. He can call the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He can cleanse the lepers. He even rose people from the dead. He even defeated death himself. We serve a big God, a big Savior. It's nothing too impossible for him. He can take a stony heart and change it into a heart of flesh. He can take the old creation and make us a new creation. If anything is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. New things have come. We serve a big God. Think about it. He took your sinful self and changed your life. Wait a minute, let me say it this way. He took my sinful self and changed my life. We serve a big God. We serve a big God. He can do amazing things. He can do amazing things. So be a witness for him. Tell people about what he has done in your life. And you know, really, even before we can fulfill the Great Commission, let us first think about the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Great Commandment. In other words, Jesus said, love God with everything you got. Give him all you got. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we fulfill the Great Commandment, then we're ready to fulfill the Great Commission. We're ready to get to Jesus' mandate about going and making disciples of all the nations, about being a witness for him. Let's look at this verse 18. Verse 18 said, and Jesus came and spoke to them. Jot this down. Jesus came to them. You might want to say, Jesus still comes to me. Jesus came to them, Sister Johnson. He came to them. Isn't it comforting to know that Jesus still comes to us? That he doesn't just leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us on our own. He is still coming to his people. Matter of fact, Jesus loves to commune with his people. Remember last week I talked about the church of Laodicea. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. If you just open up the door, I'll come in and commune with you and dine with you and sup with you. Jesus said, come to me, take up on me my yoke. Take up on you my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, Jesus, when he came, that's one of the things that really blew the religious leaders' mind. They were just missing it. They just missed it all the time. They asked the disciples, man, why your leader? Why he hangs out with the sinners all the time? Why he over there with the tax gatherer and all that? And Jesus, he said, those who are well, they don't need a physician. But those that are sick, they need a physician. And I've come to seek and to save those that were lost. So Jesus hung out, if you will. He didn't become a sinner or sinful, but he hung out with sinners. Those who needed forgiveness. Those who needed him. And so he still comes to us to commune with us, to abide with us, to hang out with us, to spend some time with us. So how's your Jesus time these days? Are you enjoying Jesus? Are you worshiping and serving him? Kind of like I stated last week, if you're too busy for Jesus, beloved, you're just simply too busy. You got to get some stuff off your plate. You got to get a little more margin in your life. All of us can be guilty of getting too busy doing a lot of good stuff. I'm not saying bad stuff or sinful stuff. I'm just saying we can get busy doing all kind of stuff. A lot of that stuff don't have any eternal value. But Jesus came to them. You know, really, until you make Jesus a priority in your life, witnessing or making disciples won't really be a priority. But if you make Jesus a priority in your personal life, then doing what he has commanded us to do, operating out of his mandate, his command, that will become a priority. So Jesus came to them, and listen to what he said. I love what he says. He said, all authority. All authority. Not just some, not just a little bit, but Jesus said, all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I think that covers it all, right? Jesus, all authority in heaven. Yeah, I got all authority in heaven and on earth. I got all authority on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Then he says, and I unpack it in just a minute. He says, go therefore, because I'm the one who has all authority, Jesus says, and I'm sending you with my authority, with my power. Go therefore and make disciples of who, Jesus? Of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I love this part. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. I'll come back to that in a minute, but that just makes me feel good. I just love reading that. As I was reading this text the last couple of weeks, I just love reading that last part. Jesus said he's with us always, even to the ends of the age. So the first thing out of verse 18 you want to jot down. These are basic truths, fundamental truths, but these things you got to really hold on to and get in your mind and your heart and your spirit. Jesus has all authority. He has all power. So when we go out, like on Saturday or whenever, or when you go back home this evening, or when you go on your job on Monday or Tuesday or whenever you go, you're not going once again on your own. You're going in the power and authority of Christ, who has all authority. And all power. So once again, it's not just you. You're going in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going in the power of Christ, the one who has all authority and has all power. He's sovereign. He's ruler. He's king. He's master. He's Lord. And he has all power. And he has given us. He has delegated some of that authority and power to us to go in his name. I come in the name of Jesus. I don't come on my own account, on my own initiative. I don't even come in the name of Love Fellowship. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, Love Fellowship is one of his churches, but we come in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has all authority and all power. That's who we are. When the disciples early on in the book of Acts, they were so empowered by the Holy Spirit. When people would see them, they said, there they go. There they go. I mean, 11 or so little motley guys. There they go. They're the men who are turning the world upside down. And they, in a real sense, they weren't any greater than us. They were just regular men. I mean, Peter denied Christ. I mean, he was fearful. He had his issues. I mean, Peter talked all the time. He you know, they had their issues. But yet they were filled by the Spirit. And they said, Jesus told us to do this. And we're going to go do it. We're going to be obedient and leave up the results up to him. So Jesus has all authority. He has all power. And so with that, he says, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples. Once again, I want to keep saying this. This is not just, I know at least when I grew up in the church, and I kind of thought this type of thing was only for like the pastor, you know, the other preachers, maybe the elders or deacons, you know, just the leaders in the church, you know, the ministry area leaders, the mothers. I thought it was kind of for them. But really, beloved, this is for all of us. So you can't pass it off and say, well, I'll just let so-and-so do it. No. It's everybody's job. Somebody said, everybody. I heard it. It's everybody's job. Not just a select few. Now I must admit, in scriptures, one of the gifts is the gift of evangelism. Some people do have that special gift of evangelism, and it's just almost it's just so natural to them. They just, many of y'all know R.V. Brown. He's just a gifted evangelist, not just before people, but you catch him in the grocery store or at the ball game or wherever. He's trying to tell somebody about Jesus. Some people just flows out of them. Sister Moore, she has a gift of evangelism. I remember especially when we had Harriet Tubman there, she and I would often hook up and go over there, and she'd just be witnessing to all these young ladies over there. It just flows right out of her. But so some people have that gift. I'm not saying people don't have that gift, but I'm saying, just for instance, all of us supposed to give, right? Some people had a gift of giving, but some people, all of us are to give. So some people had a gift of evangelism, but we can't get off the hook and say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. No, all of us are supposed to do the work of an evangelist. All of us supposed to say, Lord, help me to tell somebody about Jesus. Help me to share with them what the Lord has done in my life and let me be able to tell them how they can get right with the Lord. The gift of evangelism, all of us in a sense. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5, I often quote this, the Apostle Paul calls us, all of us, he calls us ambassadors for Christ, representatives of Christ. And also he says, I've given you the ministry, all of us who are redeemed, all of us who have been born again, all of us who have been reconciled to a holy God, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We can go and tell others how they can be right with God too. Once again, don't take rejection. Don't let that shut you down. Over the years, that shut me down. So I'm like, well, man, I've shared the last 5 times, but I've been rejected. Well, now keep praying and keep on sharing. Keep on planting and watering. You never know. Sometimes when you plant, because the seed is good. The seed is good. The gospel, the seed is good. Now, sometimes the ground is all messed up, but the seed is good. So you just plant the seed. You don't know. That thing might not do anything for years. Then all of a sudden, it just burst up. And somebody might even run you down. You remember 6 years ago when you was telling me about the Lord? I kind of rejected it then, but now I'm following Jesus. You just never know. Sometimes we don't see the results a lot of times. But we are called, once again, beloved, to be faithful as a church and individually and collectively to share the gospel. Jesus says, be my witness. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And really the Greek rendering of that, it really means as you are going. It doesn't mean that you, okay, stop. For next 30 minutes, I'm going to go share the gospel. No, Jesus, it really just means in your everyday routine, as you're going on your job, as you're walking through your neighborhood. You know, I go walking a lot. I take me and Gracie, my dog Gracie, hanging on in there. She's getting on up there in age. Now she's about 9 years old. That's like 63 years of our human life. So, but she's hanging in there. So even as I'm walking our dogs, I don't do it every single day, but I should do it every single day. But oftentimes as I'm walking through our neighborhood, I find myself kind of thinking about the Lord and praying. And say, Lord, maybe just open up a door. And he will often do that. I mean, neighbors I just speak to, just recently, this, I won't go into all the details, but just recently, a neighbor I speak to all the time, I walked by his house and he spoke and he said something that triggered something in me and I began to talk to him and we had a pretty long dialogue and I ended up praying with him right there on the spot. Just as you are going. And now I'm looking for the next opportunity to maybe press in a little further with him. I mean, just as you are going, as you're in the grocery store, as you're on your job, just as you are going, be asking the Lord, so Lord, I want to disciple someone today. I want to be a witness today. I guess what? The Lord would open up those doors. I said, he'll open up those doors. Paul told Timothy, he said, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's in 2 Timothy 2:2. So Paul said, here it is. Timothy, I've been discipling you. I charge you and command you to go and disciple some other folks. And then these other folks, they're going to disciple some other folks. Then those other folks will disciple some more other folks. And then those other folks will disciple some other folks. Generationally. So much so that guess what? It got all the way down to us. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Paul took it to Timothy. Timothy took it to other folks took it to other folks, and they took it on down. Next thing you know, it made it down to 2017 at Love Fellowship this morning. It's like taking a baton, you know, like when you're running a relay race. And so he's telling us, beloved, to pass it on. If we don't pass it on, I mean, God is in control. He'll raise up some people to pass it on. But say, humanly speaking, if we didn't pass it on, it'll just stop at this generation. The next generation, the children or the grandchildren or the other people, they wouldn't even know the Lord. Kind of like what Deacon Beasley was teaching this morning about fathers teaching their children in the home, teaching them. We got to pass it on. I often say this, but in our lives, beloved, we need to be connected to other believers. You need to have at least one or more Paul type people in your life who's more mature in the faith than you are, who can kind of pour into your life. Right? That makes sense. But then it also is good to have some Barnabas people, some people who encourage us, some people who are maybe kind of running where you're running, kind of in your lane, kind of on your spiritual level in your life. But then also you need to have some Timothys in your life, some people that you're reaching down to and helping them and telling them, at least come follow me as I follow Christ. So we need to have Paul's, Barnabas, and Timothy's in our lives. I mean, pray for that type of connectedness with some other believers that you might grow and grow all the more. Because see, he said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. A lot of times it's something as simple as maybe a smile. Maybe sometimes something as simple as a speaking to someone, or maybe saying an encouraging word to somebody. I'm talking about making disciples. It may be a word of correction. It may be a word of wisdom or a stern rebuke. I was even having a time playing with one of my cousins in Arkansas yesterday. He's had some problems in the past. I'll just leave it at that. But he's doing a little better now, and he's in his fitness. And he had a shirt on that said, "Break all the rules." I said, "Man, what you doing wearing a shirt talking about break all the..." I said, "That's how you got in all that other trouble you've been getting in." Talking about break all the rules. And he's talking, "Man, I didn't know what this shirt says." I said, "Man, you putting on stuff you don't know what it says." So I mean, as we would go and talk to people, try to plan, I just gave him something to think about. I said, "Man, you don't even need to wear a shirt talking about break all the rules. Especially with your history of breaking some of the rules." And I'll leave it alone. But just as we are going... And you know, family, cousins, that's one of the best, that's one of the hardest and best grounds right there. You go to those family functions, you see all kind of people. Good, bad, and ugly. See those cousins you love to see coming, you see those that you want to dodge. But as you are going, make disciples. Maybe it's a warning. Maybe making disciples. Maybe it's something like this. Check it out. This is a novel idea. A lot of times people just don't come to church like they used to. So maybe that friend or that neighbor that you've been talking to, maybe it's up to you. Maybe you can invite them to your house for a Bible study. I mean, this is basic stuff that people, a lot of people do. I mean, the early church did it. So maybe it's meeting somebody at lunch, taking out a little time for lunch about once a week and meeting somebody and you and them going through a Bible study. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe it's teaching here at Love Fellowship, teaching children's church, or teaching Sunday Blast class, or teaching on Wednesday night. That's a way to disciple the young people and older people. That's a way to disciple. You can disciple right inside the four walls. But there are many ways that you and I can disciple others, but we're given a mandate, a command from our chief officer, our founding officer, the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands us to go and make disciples. I said, he commands us. Are y'all hearing me this morning? I just want to reiterate. He's commanding us. So we can do a lot of other stuff, a lot of other good stuff, individually and collectively as a church. But if we're not focusing on being a witness and making disciples, I promise you, we're missing the boat. We're missing the boat. Because Jesus says, go and make disciples. So that should be part of our DNA, individually and corporately. That should be part of our DNA. He said, make disciples. Listen, he said, and he's going to give us descriptions. He said it in Acts 1:8 too. He repeats himself, if you will. He knows we need to hear stuff many times. How many of y'all know we need to hear stuff many times in many different ways? So Jesus in Acts 1:8 says, go and be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth, right? Right here in Mark 16, he said, go and preach to all the nations, right? And right here in Matthew 28, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. So let me say something that might even be somewhat controversial. We don't supposed to be just trying to make disciples just of other black folks, other African Americans, and that's it. Y'all with me this morning? Jesus said, of all the nations. African-American as black folks, Anglo-Americans as white folks, Native Americans, that's the Indians, Mexican-Americans, Asians, Japanese, Chinese, Russian, Africans, the islander in Bahamas, mind that even him, all nations, even folks like in North Korea. Now, I don't think I'm going to that one. I pray for somebody else to go over there in North Korea. They're kind of crazy over there. You're right. Too much going on. But everywhere, Everybody, Brother Tommy, he said, all the nations. See, listen, when John, the Revelator, over in the book of John, over in Revelation, brother, when God allowed him to look into heaven, and you all know this verse, John said, man, I saw people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. I saw all kind of folks up in heaven. So heaven is not just for one class of people, not just the rich, not just the poor, it's for everyone. So Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations. Again, join God in his redemptive process. Again, hear me well. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. He is the one that calls me into salvation. Matter of fact, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I like how Dr. K, our teacher for the last few Wednesday nights, said, he talks about how, talking about salvation and souls for the kingdom, how the promise was from God. How they were produced by the Son and they were transported by the Holy Spirit. I kind of like how he said it. I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in the salvation process. In other words, God foreknew, God promised, Jesus came and fulfilled it on the cross, and the Holy Spirit, he draws us to the Lord. So our triune God is involved in making disciples. Go and make disciples. And all the nations baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, we know that's an outward sign, right, of an inward change. Some of us in here, I know I was one of them, got baptized at a young age, but I was not regenerate. I was not born again. I was not saved. I mean, I just got baptized. That was it. So I was still lost. I was still unsaved. We presently have a candidate for baptism now, Marquise Sims. I'm meeting with him on Sunday mornings and explain, amen. Going over the gospel, and he's doing his homework, looking up verses about salvation. What a blessing when somebody professes Christ, comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner is saved, and then we get a chance to rejoice as well. And then we take them to the water, which is an outward sign of an inward change. So we thank God for that. I mean, young people, young and old, need to know what the gospel is, though. They need to know that Jesus died for their sins. They need to know that salvation is by repentance of your sins and a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's by grace, not of works. We need to be clear on our articulation of the gospel. First Corinthians 15 talks about what the gospel is. That Christ came and lived a perfect sin-free life. He died on the cross according to the scripture. He was buried, but then he came back to life. The old gospel story. Yes, it's still true that Christ hung on the cross for my sins. Yes, it's still true that he was laid in a borrowed tomb. Yes, it's still true that he rose again with all power in his hand. And yes, I believe that. I know that's the only way a person can be saved. So we are to share that, beloved, passionately, confidently. We know that's the only way. I'm sorry, Muslim. I'm sorry, Buddhist. I'm sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm sorry, Mormon. I'm sorry, all the other people. I'm sorry to atheists. I'm sorry to humanists. Your way is just leads to destruction. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It was Jesus yesterday. I've been saying this recently, but it was Jesus yesterday. It's Jesus today, and it'll be Jesus tomorrow. So we got to be clear on our articulation. We got to be clear on where we stand and where the Lord is. And once again, he sends us. And then look what else he says. After you baptize them, he says, teach them in verse 20. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So if you're taking notes again, talking about making disciples, a component of making a disciple is to teach them. Teach them to obey, just like our children. See, none of us in here, as I look at little Justin over there, none of us in here, when our children are first born, be like, well, the mother's like, well, I've kind of put you on out, man. And the dad is like, okay, we saw you being born. We're going to leave the hospital. We're just going to leave you here, our little one-day-old toddler. We're going to let you make it the best way you can. My family and I, we was up visiting with our Pastor Waller, Brother Clint there, and he and his wife April, they had twins. They didn't leave them at the hospital. Every night they don't sleep at night. They might have wished they left them at the hospital, maybe briefly, but they didn't leave them at the hospital. They brought them and they're raising them and, you know, nourishing them. So it is in making disciples. Hear me well. Making disciples is much more than just sharing the gospel with somebody. Making a disciple is much more than just seeing somebody get saved. Hallelujah. That's great. Somebody got saved, got born again. But you know, if you lead someone to Christ or you know somebody just got saved, part of what we are to do as we mature in grace is to go help that brother or sister to grow. Let me say that again. If somebody is a babe in Christ, we have a mandate to go help them to grow. We ought to help them to grow. But see, you know, let's be honest. Striving to make disciples, making disciples gets messy sometimes. Gets disappointing sometimes. Gets time consuming sometimes. It's not an overnight process. You know, as you walk with people, you know, new in the faith, you know, you're loving toward them. I mean, you're patient toward them, yet stern with them, and you still love them even when they mess up, even when they sin. But making disciples takes time. It takes time. Once again, people, they're going to mess up. We got to be patient with them, though. Hear me well. People have been patient with you. People were patient with me. This part here help you out. I just said making disciples is not easy. I'm almost through. This ought to bless you right here, though. I alluded to it earlier. Jesus said, I got all authority. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Jesus said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus is saying this to you and to me and to his disciples, his immediate disciples. Listen what he says. He says, go and do this on your own. Go and do this the best way y'all can. Yeah, y'all figure it out. Is that what he said? No. I love our Lord and Savior for verses like this. He said, look, as you go and make disciples, as you try to teach them to observe what I have commanded you, Jesus, I'm going to be right with you. Oh, y'all missing that. Jesus said, I'm going to be right with you. I'm going to be right in that study room. I'm going to be right in that prayer room. I'm going to be right with you, Sister Rose. You're not going to be by yourself. I'm going to be with you. Well, how long you going to be with me, Jesus? Just for a day or 2 days or a week or two or a month? Now, Jesus, I'm going to be with you even to the ends of the age. I'm going to be with you. He said, I'm with you. Verses like this, just like verses like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm convinced, and I'm guilty of something. I'm convinced we just roll those off so quickly and say them, but we don't really halfway believe some of those verses. Not really. See, we would be more adamant about witnessing and making disciples if we really believe that Jesus is with me when I go do this. I'm going to go share with this old buddy of mine, but I know he's so crazy and he's going to come up with stuff, old crazy stuff. I don't know what to say. But Jesus is with me, so I'm going to call him anyway. You just never know. I reconnected with a friend I went to college with years ago. And in college, he was like a semi-agnostic or semi-atheist or whatever. He just wasn't into the church, wasn't into the Lord at all. And so over time, we kind of lost contact, but we kind of reconnected through a sequence of things. And I called him about a month ago, and we had a long conversation. And this is what he told me. He said, man, are you sitting down? I said, no, I'm not sitting down right this second. What's going on? He said, man, I'm going to church regularly now. I said, really? So that's, for him, that's a big step. And so I want to follow up with him some more to see if he, you know, maybe if he's at least professing Christ or saved. But for him, that's a big step. He went from anti-church. I ain't going to church. God is not real. Jesus is not real. To man, he said, man, I need church. So man, I was so blessed to hear that. So you just never know. The Lord is with you when you are connecting with people that you see regularly. The Lord is with you. So don't forget that the Lord is with you. So he's involved in the process. The Holy Spirit is involved in the process in a very real and practical way. So once again, when we go out this Saturday, we're not going to go out just on our own strength. We go out in the power of the Lord. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is working in people even right now that we might see along the way. He is working. So Jesus is with us. Say that with me. Jesus is with us. Let me say that. Let's say that again. Jesus is with us. As a matter of fact, in Acts 1, when he hadn't sent the Holy Spirit, y'all remember what he told the disciples? He said, hey, brother, hey, guys, don't y'all go out there yet. Don't do anything yet. You just stay here until the Holy Spirit comes. So as we go out, if Jesus is not with them, we don't need to, we might as well not even go out. We might as well just stay here or watch the ball game or go to work or do something. But since Jesus is with us, since he's with us even to the ends of the age, look here, we can go out in his power and in his name and watch what he does. Once again, we have support as well from some other earthly groups, if you will, right out there on the credenza, through this brother named Steve, who works for the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. He's developed a way to share the gospel. There are different techniques to share the gospel, you know, all based on the Bible. But he has a little app out there called More Life. So you might want to pick that up. I haven't picked up the app, but I've seen it written out. More Life. It's More Life. That's one way to share the gospel. When we go out, we often have tracts of, you know, Bible verses of how we can talk to people just simply from the scriptures, how to be saved, how to be born again. Talking more now about witnessing, getting people to Christ. And also, like I said, that's just step one. But once they come to Christ, we as a church and we as individual Christians, we are given a mandate to help them to grow. Now, I'm not talking about people who are unwilling, people who are just won't return your phone calls and change their number every other day. I'm not talking about those. But I'm talking about people who are somewhat willing to want to grow. We're called to help them to grow. Matter of fact, just church, let your light shine. Let your light shine. We should be a beacon of hope here in East Chattanooga, even in Chattanooga, even in this state, even in this nation, even in this world. We as a people of God can be salt and light. Make disciples, help the widow, help the orphan. One of the ways too, again, to be a better witness and to make disciples is to be more involved in your own personal Bible study. So I want to encourage you to personally study at home, but I also want to encourage you to come to the church to study during Sunday blast or on Wednesday night. Get around the Word of God. Get around the Word of God. You might become even more versed in the Word of God, that you might be able or better equipped to go make disciples, that you might be better equipped to be a witness for the Lord. Iron sharpens iron, right? Another thing, as I said earlier, maybe that coworker, maybe that neighbor, maybe that person, maybe they just won't come to church. Well, it's a way you can kind of take the church to them. Even with something like this past summer with Vacation Bible School, I think the committee did a great job putting on a great Vacation Bible School. But as several of us remarked, like, kids just don't come from the neighborhood like they used to. So watch this. There's a thing that's been developed for a while now called Backyard Bible Study. So a novel concept, rather than saying kids come to the church, find a couple of houses where people will let you come to their house, use their house, use their backyard to have neighborhood kids come to their house. They might come to Ray Ray's house before they come to the Lord's house. I don't know. It's called Backyard Bible Studies. So just thinking of different ways to reach out others, you know, so because really as a church and just as a Christian church and Love Fellowship too, we got to be out of the mindset of just us four and no more. So, okay, we just gonna come and get it and we okay. Now, if you keep doing that, the church will die out or at the very minimum be kind of insignificant. Won't really be impacting the culture. And I don't know about you, since Jesus told us to go and make disciples and be a witness, I want the church, this church, I want to be, and you should want to be impacting lostness, impacting darkness. You ought to be wondering when you get up in the morning, you ought to be one of the devils. Uh-oh, he got up again today. Oh, she's up again today. He's going to be on my trail today. You know, Jesus says he came to seek and to save those who are lost. So shouldn't we be doing the same? And he said, go and make disciples. So shouldn't we be following his plan? That's his mandate. That's his command. To seek and to save those who are lost. To be a witness for him. To go, and as you are going, to make disciples. So we should be a disciple-making church. You should be a disciple-making Christian. As the power of the Holy Spirit works in you. So again, let's make a difference in this city. Make a difference on your job. Make a difference in your home. Make a difference in your neighborhood. Make a difference in your sphere of influence. And as we do that, as we make a difference as a church, collectively and even individually, watch this again. As we do this, we don't do it on our own. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it because Jesus says, I am with you even to the ends of the age. It's like football season is in now, college football and pro football start up next Sunday, I think. And it's like Jesus is giving us a great pep talk like a coach would before the team go out to play. Jesus, I guess, gave y'all some hard assignments. Go and make disciples, teach them. But then he says, I'm with you. I'm going with you. Let's go together. Let's do this together. So I don't know about you, church. When I really think about that, I get excited because I say, we can do this with the help of the Lord. I said, we can do this with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it one more time. We can do this with the help of the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it one more time. We can do this with the help of the Lord. We can make disciples. We can be a witness. We can impact lostness. You got to really believe that. You got to remind yourself once again of where God has brought you from. And so he's told us to go tell others. And to help them. I mean, really, just let people come along with you. As you grow, grab a couple of people with you. Right? I never forget this. In the late 80s, early 90s, before I came to Christ, I won't mention this brother's name, but this brother will always have a near and dear place in my heart. Because he would come, he lived in Hickson, and he would come over to Red Bank. I lived in some apartments in Red Bank with my lost self, and he would come over there regularly. With the scriptures, with some gospel music, and just witnessing to me, just trying to disciple me, if you will. And he did that consistently. And there was no evident fruit at all. But he kept on doing that. And little did he know, but as I said earlier, God used that, and that left an imprint on me. Because for me, I was in my early 20s. He was about mid to late 20s. Even though I had grown up in a church, Brother Michael and Brother Sid, I had never seen a young black man in love with Jesus. I just never seen that, right? And that just blew my mind. And even though I was holding on to the world, it's kind of almost like, man, I want to really be like him. I want to experience what he's experiencing. But he didn't really know that. But he kept being faithful. So that's what we're called to be, saints. Be faithful. And you just never know how God is going to use that. We just plant, we water, and we trust that God is going to give the increase. Amen? Amen. Go and make disciples. Seek and save the lost. Seek them. We can't save them. We can tell them how to be saved. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank